it's important before you just lock up every traffic violator or every person who's going to be out in a day or two anyway in an expensive cage, expensive to staff. It's important to figure out if there are other ways to ensure appearance or to sanction bad behavior.
Are there specific recommendations based on that? I mean, that's easier, I guess, said than done.
Sure, sure. There's, first of all, recommendations that say there needs to be alternatives to incarceration that are, in fact, sanctioning bad behavior. For instance, a work program in the community for nonviolent offenders who need to be sanctioned, but you don't want to punish the taxpayers with three hots and a cot in order to sanction bad behavior. You want to sanction the bad behavior and not the taxpayer. And so starting with that premise, you develop alternatives that fit the crime, fit the jurisdiction, fit the budget, and do the job without necessarily just building and building and building. And that realization has been sweeping this country lately. People are realizing in hundreds and hundreds of other counties that if you keep building jails, you keep building jails, you don't have money to do almost anything else you need to do.
So is this some of the stuff that you said it's kind of in various places of your report and you're going to be in the process of putting that on a single page? Or?
Well, it is all over the report, and it is actually consolidated in an action plan at the very beginning of the report in the executive summary. But the point was made last night, and it was a well-taken point, that it would be handy to have a list of recommendations with their price tags on one page, and that'll be forthcoming.
Okay, but what are a couple of those?
A major recommendation is that the police departments target the most serious and frequent visitors to the jail in a way that prevents that population from constantly taking up the resources of everybody because they're not being targeted. Another recommendation is that the police departments be a little bit more scrupulous about who they transport to jail. Folks such as you or I who get arrested for a bad act are not likely to flee the jurisdiction. And so state law provides, actually encourages, that you or I be arrested on the site of the crime. Let's say we steal a loaf of bread. And then if we have a job, if we have a longtime residence in the community, if it's a misdemeanor, if it's not a danger to somebody or some other case, that we be issued a citation to show up in court rather than booked and incarcerated for 2 or 3 days at great expense to the taxpayer, pull the officer off the beat to do that when, in fact, we're good to show and we're not a danger to anybody.
I assume maybe you heard last night or read in the paper some of the criticisms. I guess I particularly quoted in the paper a couple of Republican county board members. I mean, were there other things that you've read and had in a response to?
Well, I actually didn't think of any criticism that I heard last night. I heard some really intelligent comments, and one of them was, what is the simple answer? And Commissioner James is very happy to have a simple answer, just build this many beds or just do this. And he and I have gone round in a very good-natured way about the fact that sometimes there aren't simple answers. We need to take some time to see how this jurisdiction is going to define some of the recommendations, because it's not up to me and it's not up to him. It's up to the sheriff, the police chiefs, the judge, the judges, the prosecutor. It's up to a lot of folks as to how the demand for jail beds and the alternatives that are available are actually implemented in time.
So are there other expenses, other easy things that are, maybe not so easy, but other things that we need to, that you might itemize or suggest?
Well, there are lots of easy and inexpensive things to do to make the criminal justice system less expensive, and one of them is more automation. Right now, only some of the agency's data talks to some of the other agency's data. There are breaks in the data. You want to be able to have seamless data across the whole system. You don't want to re-enter anything manually, and you want to use that data to measure the system flow much as you would in a factory to make sure that you're not doing really inefficient things with human beings and cases that cause demand for jail beds, not based on bad behavior, but based on bad management.
Anything else in terms of what a response you heard during the meeting or anything else you'd like you like to respond
to it. Yeah, I really would, because I've watched this county for a year now. When I got here, people were kind of yelling at each other from opposite sides of a either-or, black-and-white kind of a political discourse in which there were those who were accused of wanting a high-rise jail downtown for $20 million, and there were those who were accused of wanting to let everybody out of jail and no worries about public safety. And those two groups, as often happens in the work I do, were very polarized by the simplicity of their arguments and a lack of facts or analyses to really understand the question. I think what's happened in Champaign, and probably better than most of the counties I work in, and I've worked in 450 now, we've done a lot of studies, is that Champaign has come around very, very quickly to seeing the sophistication and subtleties involved in this question, and has actually begun to implement many of the changes we recommended months ago before the final report hit the street. Just on the basis of the draft, people can see common sense in this county, and the politicians are far closer to each other now, as are the agency heads. And the general public, that was pretty cranky at the beginning of the study, last night were full of compliments to the board and to the study and to the sheriff and the bench and the prosecutor and the police departments for being able to see and move on positive, constructive recommendations that would save money and lessen the distance between everybody.
So, I mean, what were some of those, what are some of the things you're seeing that have, even as the draft was out, that have been implemented?
Well, the sheriff has been working with one of our consultants, who was the fellow who did the analysis of the old jails and the lack of maintenance and the problems with their usage. He's been working with him. Actually, he'll be in town tomorrow. That gentleman's name is Dave Voris, who's a national expert on jails. The sheriff's been working with him. And one of the plans that's very far along is to use plywood to create a partition in the satellite jail that would enable you to move the women from the old main jail to the satellite jail, and far better use of space then. Nobody's going to break through plywood, but even if they did, they're all inside a secure perimeter. You need some barrier between men and women in a jail, obviously. But the issue is not so much the number of beds. They got plenty of beds. They got a bunch of beds that are empty. The issue is the right inmate in the right bunk. And so if you're a crazy guy and you need to be in a single cell, and I've only got three bed cells, I've got two beds idle. And taking that example and putting it out over the whole building, moving people around to better use facilities is one of our recommendations that was immediately picked up by the sheriff and is being implemented.
You mentioned trying to not have the same people locked up all the time. I mean, isn't recidivism one of the things that I'm just curious with the task force, I mean, the reason this was delayed to this point?
Well, the task force and our report are remarkably parallel. And while it was very worthwhile waiting to make sure there weren't two reports in some ways, there's hardly a disagreement between the task force and our report. But the issue that you just raised about recidivism is extremely instrumental to this whole question. For example, one of the major task force recommendations, and ours, is to set up a reentry program. It's one thing to spend a lot of time and energy putting people in a cell, but it's important to think about what happens the day they get out. Many people who get out of jail go home to a house and a family that is totally different than the one they left. And without any orientation or adjustment, sometimes the family doesn't even know they're getting out. They arrive at their home, might even find somebody else in their bed. They arrive at their neighborhood and find there's no jobs, no provision for their making a living, no provision for them taking care of their kids, and nothing left for them to do but go to the corner where they got arrested to begin with. And so having a program that brings the family and probation officer into the jail at the outset of the sentence and start talking about what you will do when you get out and how we can reintegrate you into your family, into your community, into the economy, so that you have far less reason to recidivate and much more reason to rehabilitate, is one of the key issues in whether or not you have to keep building jails and jails and jails, or the sanction that you use works and changes behavior.